Okay, so we're starting Hilchos Brachos, a new section in Sefer Ahava. So we'll start with the Koseres, which is where where the Rambam presents the relevant mitzvos. So he says, Hilchos Brachos, mitzvos ase achas. There's only one Doraisa commandment, and that is, V'hi levarech es Hashem ha-gadol v'kadosh achar achila. So, which is referring to benching. So, it is to bless God after eating. That is the only Doraisa commandment for brachos. But as you'll see, there's a vast amount of chapters in this section. It's a much more complex system than that. Okay, so Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph. Mitzvah Saseh Min HaTorah, Levarech, Achar, Achilas Mazon. So, it is a positive commandment from the Torah to bench, to make a bracha after you eat. Literally, it means nutritive food. Shneamar ve'achalta ve'savata uve'rachta es Hashem alkecha. Ve'eno chayiv min haTorah ela imkein savea. So you're only obligated midoraisa to bench if you're satiated. Shneamar ve'achalta ve'savata uve'rachta. Medivrei sofrim achal afilu kazayis savarach acharav. But midorabanan, right, it's only if I just eat a kazayas, and let's use bread to make it simple, just a kazayas alone creates the obligation to bench. But the key thing is that it's really satiation. It's the feeling of fullness that produces the obligation of benching. And it's a very classic categorization of doraisa derabanan. And the doraisa realm, so satiation is like a, in other words, achila, when a person eats, usually they're eating to remove the pain of hunger. So so normal eating, a person doesn't feel like he's hungry anymore. But satiation is like a positive state. It's more than simply removing the state of hunger, but it's kind of like when a person, kind of leans back and says, wow, that was a great meal. That's like a positive state. So it's the positive state that produces the obligation of benching midoraisa. But as long as a person's removed hunger, and now is no longer hungry, that itself, midorabanan, produces an obligation to bench as well as other brachas. So, lacha beis, midivrei sofrim, and the rabbanan expanded this. So, the rabbis first, it's not necessarily a time idea, more of a conceptual chronology, but the chachamim start with first explaining how even when it comes to bread, a kazayas produces a chiyav of benching, and then the rabbanan start expanding the bracha mandate. And they say, so they also institute an idea that a person has to make a bracha on food before they eat the food, and then they can benefit from the food. Okay? And even if the amount that the person intends to eat or drink is a very, very small amount, right? A very tiny amount, as long as you're getting benefit, as long as there's hana, then a person has to make a bracha beforehand. And also they expanded it to also include things that smell nice. Okay, for something for a spice as an example, mevarach v'arachach yana mimenu. Okay, so the chachamim expand the idea of brachos to include hana, which is one whole section of brachos, brachos nenen, things that a person benefits from. V'chol hanene below bracha mal, and as the Gemara says, if a person benefits from this world without making a bracha, it's as if he's stealing, but me'ila is when you steal from the base of Mikdash. So, in a sense, it's like you're stealing from God. V'chei medivrei sofrim, levarach achar kol mashi yochal v'kol mashi yishteh. So that's another branch that they develop, which is that there's a bracha achrona that you make after things other than, let's say, bread. Okay, v'hu sheyishteh revias, v'hu sheyochal kazayas. But in order to make a bracha achrona, you need a minimum shear. Either you drank a revius or you ate a kazayis. Okay, umet ms. But let's say you taste something. Ein etzricha bracha lo lefanea, v'lo la'acharea ad revius. But if you're, let's say you're tasting something, let's assume you want to taste the soup to see if it tastes good. So that doesn't require a bracha. Okay, and the reason why is because even though there is a hana, because the person will now know what it tastes like, it's not a nutritive hana. So the chachamim draw a line at nutritive hana as being the limit for the obligation of making a bracha rishona and achrona. But if it's for te'ima, that's actually considered, that's not considered achila. And that's why the chiyuv for bracha doesn't come into existence. Okay, halacha gimel. Ugeshem shemavarchem al ha'aniyah. Okay, so now comes the other branches. Okay, kach varachan akol mitzvah mitzvah, varachach yaseh osa. So just like we have birchas nenin, which if you, you know, if you look at, again, the Dorayitz institution, it starts with really nenin. They also expand it to include mitzvahs as well. So before you do a mitzvah, okay, you must first make a bracha and then do the mitzvah. Okay, and the idea behind that, we'll get more into when we get to birchas mitzvah, but it's more about, and many Rishonim explain this concept, but it's tying the person's das to the action he's about to do. Right? So, in other words, let's say a person's going to pick up a lulav. So to ensure that the person relates to this action as being an action of mitzvah, not just simply picking up a palm frond, you make a bracha before it. We also have the third category, which is ubrachos rabos tiknu chachamim, derech shevach v'odoya. So there's other brachos, many brachos, that the chachamim are misakin, that are praise and gratitude, okay, v'derech bakasha, and requests, k'dei lizkor es aborei tamid, afa pishalo nenev lo asa mitzvah. And those are really there to always remember God, okay? So even though there's no hana from them whatsoever, and there's no mitzvah, there's still brachos. And then we'll get to those also. That's a whole other huge section, which are all the brachos of Shevach Adam Bakasha. Okay, so therefore, Allah Chadalad, Nimsu, okay, Kol brachos Kulon Shloshaminim. So there's three types of brachos. Brachos hana, brachos mitzvos, brachos hada, Shein Derech Shevach Vodea Bakasha. So they're called brachos hada, but they refer to the three main things, which is praise, gratitude, and requests. Okay, list goes to Baratamid, Eliyahu Mimenu. Okay. Now, as he goes on in this parak, he's going to get into the general construct of all brachos. Okay, halacha hey, benusach kol brachos, Ezro bezino tikno. So the Rama maintains that the text of all the brachos, Ezro and his bezdin enacted. Ve'ein roy lishnosam v'lo lahosif al achas mehem v'lo legro mimenu. So that's always a very important point, which, as you'll see, raises some questions, whether it be in tefillah or other brachos. We can't change them, okay? You can't change their language. You can't add new brachos, nor can you subtract brachos. And that's an important point. This once they were misaki in the system of brachos, that's it. It's a closed system. Not only that, the chol mishana mimatbea shetavu chachamim brachos eino elatoa. Anyone who changes the original form, or the natural form, but the original form of these brachos is making a mistake, okay? So we're not allowed to do that. Just as an example of a controversial issue of changing the matbeah of the bracha, so you have, there's many of these, but just as an example, you have the bracha that's made on shlosh regalim, let's say in musaf, okay, before modem. So the minhag developed to say the bracha of what's called shosol levadcha, which is right before modim, instead of hamachazir shchinas solitziyam. And there are Ashkenazi minyanim who do this. And there's many poskim have raised tremendous concern about that, because you're changing the matbeah of the bracha. There was no shosol levadcha. That wasn't the bracha. It was hamachazir shchinas solitziyam. Or another example is during aseres yemei tshuva, changing it to osa shalom instead of mevarach esamoy sol shalom. That's an example of changing the matzbeah of the bracha. So we don't do that. Whatever they made, that's what we do. Another example of a hosafa is the bracha of in Berachos Hashachar of Hanosam Layayev Koach. Okay, that doesn't exist in the Gemara. There is no bracha like that. So that's another example of a bracha that was, in a sense, added in. And don't worry, there's plenty of Achronim who justify its addition. But the point is that there are examples today where either the matzbeah was changed or brachas were added in. V'chol bracha she'ein ba haskaras Hashem u'malchus, any bracha that doesn't have the Shem Hashem in it, ain't a bracha. Ela im kein ha'isa smucha l'chaverta. It's not a bracha unless it's next to another bracha. So that's also an important point. That comes up often in, for instance, Tefillas HaDerech. So people, when they want to say that there's a suffix, whether you say Tefillas HaDerech or not, they'll say Baruch Atah, but they won't say Hashem's name in the bracha, and that's how they get out of it as actually saying it's a bracha. Okay, so Lach Vav. V'chol ha-brachos, kulon ne'emarin v'chol lashon. Okay, now you're allowed to say a bracha in a different language. Okay, so if a person doesn't understand the bracha in Hebrew, there's no problem whatsoever in reading that bracha, let's say, in our case here, in English, as long as v'hush yomark ain't shetik to chachamim. But it must be what he's really saying is it must be a appropriate and accurate translation of what the Chachamim were misaking. So the idea of sticking to the format and this text that they developed is so critical, to the point where if you said it in a different language, it must follow the exact translation of what the Chachamim did. Vimshina samatbeya, but let's say you changed the way the Chachamim wrote it, okay? But here's a key point. Ho vehizkir azkara umachos v'inyin abracha afidu b'lashon chol yatsa. But if a person did end up changing the matbeya, okay, and did say the Shem Hashem, in other words, include the Shem Hashem, and the theme of the bracha was still present, even if he said it in non-Lashon HaKodesh, he would still be Yotze. So there is the one wiggle room is that as long as a person has the essential theme that the bracha was set up for, along with the Shem Hashem, he would still be Yotze. But again, the Rambam's not saying that's Lechatchila. Rambam's saying that if you did it, you'd still be Yotze. And the reason why is you still got across the main idea and you still said the Shem Hashem. But in general, we don't want to do that. We want to follow the matbeah that they set up. Okay. Now, Lacha Zayin. Kol brachos. So by every bracha, kulan tzarech shiyashmiel la'azno. Mashehu omer. So it's very important that a person hear the bracha that they say. Okay, so if you're going to make a bracha on an apple, right, you really shouldn't kind of like mumble it. You should be able to say it in a way where you can hear it to your own ears. It doesn't mean you have to project it as loud as possible. I know some people like to do that. It just means you have to say it loud enough that you could hear it. However, v'im lo hishmiel la'azno, yatsa. But if you didn't hear it, you're still yotze, bein shehosi b'sfasa, bein shebirech libo. Even if you didn't make the bracha out loud, meaning let's say you didn't, your lips didn't move, you thought to yourself, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, whatever, you'd still be yotze. Okay, so again, in the ideal structure, you want to be able to hear the bracha that you make, even if a person made the bracha quietly, even to the point where there is no verbalization whatsoever of said bracha, you would still be fulfilling your obligation of the bracha. You wouldn't have to make the bracha again. Okay, Alacha Ches. Kol brachos kulan lo yafsik bein abracha ubein hadavar shemivarchen alav bidvarim achirim. Okay, and that, this is also a very misunderstood halachic idea. Every bracha you make, okay, it's easier to think about food, but every bracha that you make, what do you call it? Someone asked about the changes of Hamel HaKadosh. Yes, those were brought down from the Gemara. We'll get to that later on in the Rambam. Every bracha, okay, a person should not interrupt between the completion of saying the bracha and the act that person is going to be doing. Okay, so this is not going to apply to Berachas Shevach and Hodah, but let's say Berachas Nanin. So a person makes a bracha on an apple. Okay, there should not be a hefsek, an interruption between the bracha you make on the apple and the action you're about to do on said apple, which in this case would be eating it. Bidvarim acherim. That's the key thing. With things unrelated to the eating, the bracha of eating this apple, okay? V'mhefseh sarach lachzor v'lachshiyah. But if you did make a hefsek, a true hefsek, you have to go back and make another bracha. However, v'mhefseh bidvarim shehem inyan dvarim shevarachan alav, eno sarach l'varachshiyah. But if you did make a hefsek in things that have to do with that which you're making a bracha on, you do not need to go back and make another bracha, okay? So that doesn't mean that... Yeah, go ahead. So the Rambam takes this from the Lashon of the Gemara, and what I always try to tell guys is because when people find out about this, the biggest example... Well, let me just finish the halacha, and you'll see the famous example comes up. Ketzad, kagon shebirach al pas, this comes from the Gemara Brachos. So let's say I make a hamotzi. The kodam sheyochal, now, again, I made hamotzi lechem in aretz, okay? But before I eat, Amar haviyu melach, haviyu tafshil, tnu leploni lechol, tnu machal lebehema, chiyotza be'elu, and it's arach levarach shenis. So I can say, if I said, after I make the bracha hamotzi, bring me some salt, feed the animals, etc., which are all halachically in some way, whether it's primary, secondary, or tertiary, related to the bracha that I made, I will not have to go back and make the bracha again. V'chein kol chiyotza bazeh. Okay? So what's important to emphasize is that it's not that a person should seek out to be mafsik, meaning of dvarim that to do with the bracha. In other words, like it doesn't mean that like is there a person shouldn't set up for himself to make the bracha of, let's say, Borei Peri Eitz, and then before eating the apple say, you know what, let's review some of the halachas of, what it called, of making brachos on apples, right? It's just saying that if a person did, a person can be masnik if he needs to, if it has to do with assisting in fulfilling this mitzvah of the bracha. Of course, where this comes up, the most famous example that comes up in is going to be banitilas yadayim before hamotzi, which we'll get to down the road. The question of being allowed to talk after that, which we'll get to. Okay, halacha. But the key point is that from halacha ches is that people make a mistake. They think that usher to talk after you make a bracha, let's say on food. It's not usher to talk. That's a non-halachic idea. You shouldn't have a hefsek. A hefsek is a halachic idea. Hefsek means an interruption of hesek hadas. It means some break between my intent of said bracha and fulfilling the action. That doesn't just come about through talking. It could be if I'm talking about this apple and it has to do with some halachic aspect of the bracha, that's perfectly fine. Okay. Halacha tes. Kol brachos kulam moto l'tamei l'varachosan. So if you're tamei, you're allowed to make brachos. Bein she'a tamei tumah kishu yachol lalos min abo b'yom. Bein tumah she'ena yachol lalos min abo b'yom. Fine. V'asum l'varach l'varach kishu arum achi yichaser v'aso. Now you cannot make a bracha if you're completely naked unless you cover up your primary erva. B'med v'aramorim b'ish. That's by a male. So by a male, he must at the very least be wearing some type of undergarment before he makes a bracha. Aval b'isha. Okay, Yosheves ufanea tokos bekarcha umureches. But by a woman, she actually doesn't have to. If she's naked, she can still make a bracha as long as she's sitting down, like squatting down, and her primary erva is facing the ground. Then it'd be permitted for her to make a bracha in such a case. Halacha yud. Okay, kol brachas kulan afa pi shebirach v'yatsa idei chovaso. Now comes another very interesting halachic aspect of brachos. Even if I fulfilled my obligation by a bracha, mutolo levarach la'achirim shelo yatsu idei chovaso kedei lahotzion. Okay, he's going to qualify this in a second. Okay, but let's say by birchos mitzvah, which is what he's going to talk about. If I went ahead and made a birchos a mitzvah on a mitzvah that I was required to do, and then other people came along and I made a bracha to help them fulfill their chiyuv of their mitzvah, even though I fulfilled my mitzvah already, I could do such a thing. I can make the bracha and I can use the bracha as a mechanism to be motzi their chiyuv of making a bracha. Except for chutz of birchos anah, she'ein bam mitzvah she'einim varach la'achirim el im kenena iman. But it doesn't work by hana, because hana is experiential. So if I already experienced the hana, it makes no sense for me to go ahead and make another bracha for them. Okay, but aval birchas hana sheish ba mitzvah, but now you have that famous thing where the halachic system sets up, rare, but it happens, a two-layer system where there's both the hana you get from the fact that this thing's a food, and the other layer attached to it, which is the mitzvah, could go on achilas matzah b'lele apsachim. Remember, by matzah, you make two brachas. You make hamotzi, because it's bread, okay? And you make al achilas matzah, because it's a mitzvah. The kiddush hayom, harei zeh mevarach la'achir. Now, we'll get to kiddush hayom. He means, let's say, for instance, Friday night kiddush. He does not mean Shabbos day kiddush. Harei zeh mevarach la'achirim, ve'ochlim v'shosim af apish ena ochel iman. Okay? So then he could still make a bracha for others, okay, even if, he already ate. So, but in general, when it comes to birchas hana, I am unable to go ahead and make a bracha for other people, if I already made the bracha myself on, let's say, the apple. Okay, halacha yud aleph. Okay. Kol shemei bracha, if I listen to a bracha, mina brachos, mitchilasa v'ad sofa. Okay, so let's say I'm standing next to someone, and they make, let's say, bracha on tefillin, and I listen to the entire bracha from beginning to end. V'niskaven lotes ba yedei chovaso yatsa afapi shelo ana amen, which we'll get to how amen works in a second. But if I hear someone else make a bracha, and this is the key point, the person making the bracha, right, is not intent on making helping me be motzi my bracha, but I heard the person, and I had intention to fulfill my obligation of bracha, good to go. I would not have to make another bracha on my tefillin. V'chol ha'oneh amen acher har mevarech. Okay? And when you answer amen, And the best way to translate Amen, by the way, is to say Amen is the ultimate acknowledgement of the reality of God. So when I answer Amen after the person makes the bracha, Harei zeh kim mevarech, it's as if I made the bracha. V'hu sheha mevarech chayav osa bracha. As long as the person making the bracha, right, was chayav in said bracha. But again, the key point he's saying here is that when I answer Amen, my acknowledgement of the bracha that the person making said, my acknowledgement by saying Amen, makes it as if I made the bracha myself. Okay, so Amen is the mechanism of taking me as a listener, right, and through acknowledging, giving me the status of being the Mevarech. Now, Hayim Mevarech Chai Medivrei Sofrim, Va'una Chai Min HaTorah, but let's say the person making the bracha is only chayev midurabanan, in the mitzvah, let's say, but the person answering is chayev midoraisa, then lo yosedei chavotza ach yene osh ach yishma mishu chayeba min Torah kamo. So that's a general principle, which is that in order for me to be yotze through saying amen, there has to be an equivalency in the person making the bracha and the person answering. If they're not equivalent, if one is on a different level than the other when it comes to chayev, then it won't work. Okay, let's say a group of people get together and they want to eat bread or drink wine together. Ubirach echad mehen v'anu kulam amen. Harei lumutar in lechov lishtos. Okay, so if a bunch of us get together, this happens quite often on Friday nights, where everyone gets together to eat, right? One person makes hamotzi, right? Or let's say makes hagafen for everybody. And everyone answers amen, that's it. That's all you need to do. Okay? And then it's mutter for those people there to eat or drink. However, aval im lo niskavnu le'achol ke'echad, ele zeh ba ma'atzmo v'zeh ba ma'atzmo. Okay, however, if there was never if there was never intention of everyone to eat together, rather, like, let's say there's like a cafeteria at work, right? And I happen to show up at the table, and my friend shows up at the table, another friend shows up at the table. We never had any intention to eat together. Afa pishin ochlim mikikar echad, even for all sharing one loaf of bread, kol echad echam v'arach latzmo. Nonetheless, every person has to make their own separate hamotzi. Now, b'medvar amorim b'pas v'yayin b'vad. Now, this is only unique to pas and yayin. And again, we'll get more of this when we get to Zimun, but the reason why is that, pas and yayin, as you'll see, are sit atop the bracha pyramid. And B, they refer to, there's a certain social aspect that emerges, that pas and yayin had that other foods do not. Of al shar ochlim amashkin, but when it comes to other foods and drinks, eno tzrichen haseba, right, ela im birach echa mehen v'anu kulon amen, harei elu ochlim ashosim. So by other foods, you don't need this idea of everyone eating, intention of eating together. Rather, we just say that if all of us are sitting together and we didn't intend to sit together to eat together, and I make a bracha on an apple and you have in mind and you listen to my bracha, you can never eat an apple afterwards. Right? So even if there's no intention to eat together as one, at the end of the day, when it comes to other foods, you could be yotze through one person. Okay. Halacha Yud Gimel. Kol hashamea echad mi Yisrael mevarach bracha mikol habrachos kulan. Anyone who hears a Jew make a bracha from any one of the three categories of brachos, afa pisha lo shama bracha kulam mitchlas avat sofa, even if I didn't hear the entire bracha from start to finish, the afa pisha no chayv osa bracha, and even if I'm not chayv in the bracha, chayv lanos amen. So, and as long as I hear some part of the bracha, and it doesn't matter if I'm chayv in that bracha or not, I must answer amen. Vim haya mevarech Akum, o apikores, o kusi, o tino, kamislamein. So if the Mevarech is a kofer, or whatever, a heretic, or non-Jew, or a child who's learning how to make brachos, okay, o shahaya gadol, vishina mimatbea bracha, ein onachrein amein. Or if it's an adult who changes the matbea, the bracha, I will not answer amein to the bracha. Which, going back to what I said before, but let's say oseh shalom, for those who are very makbid about that, if someone said Oseh Shalom during Aser HaShemei Tshuva, the Rambam would say, you've changed the matbeah of the bracha. You should not answer Amen to that bracha. You should not answer Amen. Okay. Halacha Yudalit is an important one, which is, for some reason, not taken so seriously today, and I never understood why. This is directly from the Gemara. Kol ha'oneh amen. Okay, anyone answers amen. Lo yane lo amen chatufa, v'lo amen ketufa, v'lo amen ketsara, v'lo aruka, elo amen benonis. Okay? So the word amen, okay, has a very specific pronunciation. Okay, when you hear a bracha, you're supposed to say amen. You're not supposed to say, you're not supposed to lengthen out the word. And we know there's many, tefillas that we say, songs that we've introduced into davening, where, especially davening, where the word amen is distorted. It's not said as what the Gemara says, as Ella amen benonis, which just means saying it normally, amen. It doesn't mean lengthening the nun or the mem or the aleph. But yet, for some reason, that's done today. I find that to be very problematic. And what we should do is you should say it the way the Gemara says so. Amen. And that's it. That's all you have to say. V'lo yagbia kol yosher min varach. That's also very important. The people who say amen should not raise their voice to be louder than the person making the bracha. V'chol mi shelo shama es bracha shuchayba lo yana amen bichlal onim. And if I didn't hear the bracha, okay, that chayavin, okay, I should not answer amen. With the other people who are answering, okay? Because I'm chayav to make the bracha myself. Someone just asked, what about by kriyas Torah? That's also a problem. Also, at any time someone lengthens the saying of amen, you run into a problem. You really shouldn't do that. There's a specific way of saying it. Okay, let's stop here and.